Well, I appreciate the Lord this morning. This meeting has been so rich. And I pray that your prayers will be for the word this morning, that it'll still be rich. I feel like the Lord's been talking to me a little, and I just want to share a few things with you. Kind of basic things, but so needful in our lives. Acts 4 and 18, we'll read a little bit here. And they called them and commanded them not to speak at all, nor teach in the name of Jesus. But Peter and John answered and said unto them, whether it be right in the sight of God to hearken unto you more than unto God, judge ye, for we cannot but speak the things which we have seen and heard. So when they had further threatened them, they let them go, finding nothing how they might punish them because of the people. For all men glorified God for that which was done. For the man was above 40 years old on whom this miracle of healing was shown. And being let go, they went to their own company and reported all that the chief priests and elders had said unto them. And when they heard that, they lifted up their voice to God with one accord and said, Lord, thou art God, which has made heaven and earth and the sea and all that in them is. And you know, they were threatened not to even speak. Don't you even mention this name again. I just want to ask you something. That just kind of sounds like the devil to me. Has he ever threatened you? Has he ever told you, don't you ever get up and testify again? Don't you ever get up and preach again? Preachers, has the devil ever said that to any of you? has he ever threatened you? You can't make it. There's no way you'll make it to the end. Has he ever threatened you? Sure, he has. Well, I want to encourage us this morning. Folks, these people that they were threatening knew a God that made the heaven and the earth and the sea and everything that's in them. And he made us too. And I want to tell you something. All they did was ignite a flame that they couldn't even begin to overthrow. And I want to encourage us today. We're about to the end of the meeting. And folks, we're going home. And we're going to face the same devil they faced. And he has the same fury to you and me that he had to them. But I want to tell you what happened. And let's read just a little further here. In verse 29 it says, and now, Lord, behold their threatenings. They began to pray unto God. Behold their threatenings, and grant unto thy servants that with all boldness they may speak thy word, by stretching forth thine hand to heal, and that signs and wonders may be done by the name of thy holy child Jesus. And when they had prayed, the place was shaken where they were assembled together, and they were all filled with the Holy Ghost, and they spake the word of God with boldness. Do you know this morning, folks, we stand in the face of a formidable enemy, but he's not even the least match for the God that we serve. Did we hear what Brother Curtis told us last night? Did we hear what he began to say about all the wonders of God? The things God made and the way that he made them, and I was kind of waiting to see if he was going to mention the heavens. And I don't know if you mentioned it, Brother Curtis, but I was sitting there thinking about the heavens that God stretched out. And you know, he tells us he has always been and will always be. And how else could he demonstrate that than to put something out there that we can't even comprehend? And it goes, I was looking it up the other day. Some of you at home heard this. But I want to tell you, they say that the observable universe is 93 billion light years across. That's just what we can see. Now, I know that might not mean much, what's a light year. Well, I'll tell you, light travels from the sun to the earth in about eight minutes and 20 seconds. That's how fast it travels. So imagine how far it goes in a year. And they believe that what we can see is 93 billion light years across. That means if you could travel at the speed of light, it would take you 93 billion years to cross just what we can know is there, not what we don't know. And God wanted to demonstrate to us eternity. And He's told us, you're going to a place and it's never going to end. God's told us that, hadn't He? You know what He has not, and the Scripture very clearly bears out? That we're without excuse. Because He has so witnessed to what He has told us. What greater witness could we have? And so, I'm not going to preach the same message that we did at Guthrie the other day. But I want to tell you something. God is a jealous God. I think He has a reason to be. When He sees somebody carving something up and bowing down to it, or bowing down to themselves, and He knows that He spread the heavens out, and He knows what He did in the earth, and we heard about the desert areas, and we heard about last night the mountains, and we heard about all the wonders and glories of God. Folks, I want to encourage us this morning to get a real live revelation again of the greatness of God. Just some in the past few months, it just seems like I can't get away from it. God that made all things. Folks, He is the one that we pray to. And He has all power in heaven and earth. And He's willing to share that with us. And so this morning, I want to encourage us. I don't know what kind of battles you're facing. I don't know what kind of physical battles you're facing, mental battles, spiritual battles. I don't know where you're at. I don't know what the devil is threatening you with. You see what's ahead for you? Has he ever done that to you? You see this affliction? You see what's ahead, don't you? Well, I want to tell you something. If we didn't have God, if it were not for God, what would we say? But folks, we have God on our side. And what happened to these men were they went and got a hold of Him. And He ignited what they had. And they went right back in the face of those that had persecuted and destroyed and crucified the Lord. And, you know, then we know they had it in their hearts. There was Stephen and James. And, you know, and they wanted to take Peter and make an example out of him too. But I want to tell you, I don't know what's going to come in our world. And I don't know what's in your world. But the Lord, the God of heaven and earth, is on our side. And I want to tell you, we need to get a hold of Him in our lives. God wants you to live. He wants your experience to thrive in Him. And if you are afflicted in your spirit, I want to tell you something. I have seen them healed. I have watched God work in marvelous ways. And He can do it for all of us this morning. So when the devil comes threatening you, oh, ask this question to yourself. Who is this King of glory? That's found in Psalms 24. I'm not going to turn there really, but it says the Lord strong and mighty. The Lord mighty in battle. Folks, we serve a God. And our safety is in knowing Him, knowing who He is. Getting a vision of Him. The old timers called it faith. They called it faith. By faith, they picked up their life and they gave it to God. By faith, they were not afraid of the King's commandment. By faith, they gave their lives and their hearts to the Lord. Can we not look at life? Can we not look at the devil? Can we not look at what's ahead and say with faith, I serve the Lord God. I serve the Lord that made the heavens and the earth and all things that are therein. And He'll take care of me. And I'm not going to fall because He'll take care of me and you this morning. Oh, I want to have a little pushback to the devil. There's a song that sometimes we sing. I think it's called Jesus is a Hiding Place. And I wish I knew more of the words, but it says He will fight your battles. He will take you through. He can't threaten us, folks, into submission because we serve the living God. I want to look at just familiar things that we are so familiar with. Daniel, the third chapter. And here we find this story that we have read so many times, all of us have. Verse 16, it says, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego answered and said to the king. Now, what were they up against? The king says, you will bow down. And if you don't, I'm going to cast you into a fiery furnace. If you don't bow down, I'll cast you into... If you don't give up your profession, I'm going to cast you into a fiery furnace. If you don't give up this thing about Jesus, I'm going to cast your family into troubles. Listen, I want to tell you something. These people knew something about the living God. And I want to encourage us today to get a revelation in our hearts and seek Him until we know this is God. This is not a God. This is God. This is the jealous God. This is the one that when He sees us bowing down to the things of this life, He's jealous of that. Because He's the Almighty. Why would He not be jealous? He cast out this span of stars and it didn't take Him 93 billion years to cast them out. I don't know what speed He works at, but folks, He put them out there. His Word said, and they were. Oh, this morning, Nebuchadnezzar the king was a great king. He was a powerful man. He had a lot of people killed. But he didn't know what he was up against here. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego answered. Now this was this big 90-foot idol that he had put out there of gold. It was magnificent. There was a lot of noise with it. There was a lot of power. There was a lot of persuasion all around to bow down. And I want to encourage us this morning that we don't bow down. That we live our lives like God wants us to live them, folks. They said, oh, Nebuchadnezzar, they weren't rude. They said, we are not careful to answer thee in this matter. If it be so, our God, whom we serve, is able to deliver us from the burning fiery furnace, and He will deliver us from your out of thine hand, O king. But if not, be it known unto thee, O king, that we will not serve thy gods, nor worship the golden image which thou hast set up. Then was Nebuchadnezzar full of fury. You know what that means? When someone's full of fury, folks, and they're King Nebuchadnezzar, you've got a problem. And the form of his visage was changed. You know, they talk about this, the way we look and move and act, and the things that they see in us are sometimes more than our words. These three men were picking all this up. They saw this, but I want to tell you something. They knew God, and they knew something that he didn't. He was full of fury, and the form of his visage was changed against Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Therefore he spake and commanded that they should heat the furnace one 7 times more than it was wont to be heated. You know, there's something happened here, though. And I just want to encourage us, folks. If God be for us, who can be against us? I want to take this all the way down to our life. When we go home, in our battles, I want to encourage you to know that this God can deliver you from these battles. Your mind troubles, your accusations, the things that come against you, the afflictions that we have sometimes in our body. I've had afflictions in my body in the past that I don't have today. You know why? Because there is a God in heaven, folks. That's why. When you go home, let's determine I know that God is. And I know that He'll take me through. And I'm not going to be afraid to give myself to Him with no pullback. I'm going to give myself to Him unreservedly this morning. You know, there's something else that began to happen. In verse 24, it says, "Then Nebuchadnezzar the king was astonished and rose up in haste and spake and said unto his counselors, Did not we cast three men bound into the midst of the fire? They answered and said unto the king, True, O king. He answered and said, Lo, I see four men loose, walking in the midst of the fire, and they have no hurt. And the form of the fourth is like the Son of God." You know, Peter's not the only one that had a divine revelation. King Nebuchadnezzar had one too, more than once, didn't he? When he bumped up against God, he had a divine revelation. And folks, the Lord used these three men to do that. And everything that He allows in our life, He's doing something with. That's called faith. That's who we follow. That's who we follow. Not men and women that went out and did great things in their strength. We find men and women who gave themselves to God, and God used them. He used a bunch of apostles to go out and change the whole world. And they lost their life, most of them, over it. All of them was tried to lose. They tried to kill all of them. And most of, you know what? They changed the world. And they weren't muscle men, in my opinion. When I see Peter, I don't think he was a muscle man. I see a man that was too weak to say, yeah, I'm one of his disciples. But the Holy Ghost came upon his life. And he got a vision of who God was. And he went right back out and preached to them. And 3,000 people got saved. I want to tell you, the Lord wants to do something in our life that will change the equation. He wants to do that. Then, and so Nebuchadnezzar says, the form of the fourth is like the Son of God. Wow, how did he know that? Then Nebuchadnezzar came near to the mouth of the burning fiery furnace and spake and said, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, ye servants of the Most High God. How did he know all this? All of a sudden, the light came on. Oh, you servants of the Most High God. He didn't seem to know anything about the Most High God a few minutes before. You servants of the Most High God. Folks, listen, when the devil threatens you, and it ever so small, and he threatens you, you can't speak. You can't even testify. In fact, every time you do, you cry. That's a formidable foe, isn't it? I don't want to get up and do that anymore. Folks, listen. Pray it through until God gives you something burning on your heart and you're willing to get up and cry. And you're willing to be a fool for the Lord. And I'll tell you what, God will use that little bit of nothing. Ye servants of the Most High God, come forth and come hither. Then Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego came forth out of the midst of the fire. And the princes, governors, and captains, and the king's counselors, being gathered together, saw these men, upon whose bodies the fire had no power, nor was an hair of their head singed, neither were their coats changed, for the smell of fire, nor the smell of fire had passed on them. Then Nebuchadnezzar spake and said, Blessed be the God of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, who has sent his angel and delivered his servants that trusted in him and have changed the king's word and yielded their bodies that they might not serve nor worship any god except their own God. I want to encourage us to go home and not serve any god but the Lord. Don't think that you got to serve the god of money because the future times are going to be small. Folks, let's do a good job with our money. Let's do a good job with our living. Let's be faithful. If we can make good, make good. But don't make it your God. Don't set your heart on it. Oh, listen. They yielded their bodies that they might not serve nor worship any god except their own God. And so we see how that changed the world. It changed something. And it's changing us today when we read about it, isn't it? You know what else the Lord said to us? And I love these scriptures. Isaiah 43. Oh, I'm sure some of you already know it. You're thinking about it. You've been down this road. But now, 43 and 1, but now thus saith the Lord that created thee, O Jacob, and he that formed thee, O Israel, fear not, for I have redeemed thee. I have called thee by thy name, thou art mine. Now, folks, it's our job to make sure we're the Lord's. God's not going to do that. God's not going to hogtie you and drag you in. It's our job to put ourselves on the altar. And he said, you're mine. I know you're mine. And then he said, when thou passest through the waters, I will be with thee. And through the rivers, they shall not overflow thee. When thou walkest through the fire, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego never dreamed, I seriously doubt, that they would be thrown in the fire. But you know what the promise of God was? When thou walkest through the fire, thou shalt not be burned. Neither shall the flame kindle upon thee. I am the Lord thy God, the Holy One of Israel, thy Savior. I want us to remember this morning, if we don't remember anything else, folks, I am the Lord thy God. The Lord is a great and a mighty. I feel so small saying that. How could I say that when his magnificence is so great? I can only mouth a few words. Folks, the Lord our God is a great God. Remember something. All through the scriptures you will find where the difference was that this is the God that made the heavens and the earth. And we serve him, don't we? I want to encourage us this morning to serve the Lord. David got a hold of this, Psalms 18th chapter. And you know, he said here, I trust probably many of you have read Psalms 18th chapter many times. It's a real strength to us, isn't it? But the fourth verse says, the sorrows of death compassed me, and the floods of ungodly men made me afraid. The sorrows of hell compassed me about. The snares of death prevented me. The Lord never promised us that we would not experience the sorrows of death. He never promised us that we would have no grief. Grief, I have found, is a monster. It'll consume and it'll destroy. But I want to tell you, the Lord gave us some promises about those floods and about those fires and those things that would come against us. The Lord gave us, folks, some promises. He said the fire's not going to kindle on you. You're not even going to have the smell of smoke. Now, we might feel like we're going to be ashes when we're done. That we're not only going to have the smell of smoke, but there isn't going to be anything left. But we serve the Lord God that made the heavens and the earth. And I want to encourage us to get a vision. Folks, get a vision of who God is. Get a vision of His power. Get a vision that if God says it, I can do it. If God says it, I can be healed. If God said I can have victory, I can have victory. And I might have to get pretty low in myself because He's plainly told us that He comes to the lowly. That's where we have to go. That He might be exalted. He never wanted people to be exalted. He wanted to get Gideon's army down to 300 men. Without all the armory and all that, take you a lantern out there, and get you a horn. I'm going to win the battle, and when I get done, they're going to give the glory to God. Yes. We might feel pretty small, and we might be pretty small. And that's okay if we put God into the equation. As we go home, let's put God. Let's ask God for revelation of who He is. Let's let faith be born in our soul and in our heart. People give up the Lord many times when they see the flames and they see the fire that's there and they see that there's going to be trouble ahead or affliction or problems that they don't know how can work out. And they see those things and people give up the Lord. Folks, we've got to get a vision that our God, He not only can, but He will. And He will take very good care of His things. And so our job is to be His. He takes good care of His stuff. So we need to be His stuff this morning. And listen to this. This was a psalm of David. It says, the servant of the Lord who spake unto the Lord the words of this song in the day that the Lord delivered him from the hand of all his enemies and from the hand of Saul. In my distress, he said, I called upon the Lord and cried unto my God. He heard my voice out of his temple, and my cry came before him, even into his ears. And I want to drop back now and read the three verses before that. Because David had found God to be that in his life. And folks, many of us here will find God to be this in our lives. I wish I could say that I thought every one of us would do that. I wish you would, because you would be so pleasantly surprised at what God wants to do in your life. You might have to fight for it sometimes. You might have to humble yourself. You might have to even confess to someone else that, hey, I need you to pray with me. Did you know that?
Yes, that's true.
I need help.
Yes.
I've seen times when I was struggling for a while and I needed help. I went to a brother here on these grounds a couple years ago, and I had been battling with something that I don't normally battle with those things. And you know, we had prayer together, and I just told him, I'm battling here. And you want to know something? The Lord don't always do it just like this. But that was the end of the battle. The Lord healed the battle right there. That it was done. Folks, when you serve God and you begin to find out that He will bring you out of the fire without the smell of smoke, you're not going to come out damaged for the rest of your life. Not if you let God do what God wants to do. I don't believe it. Folks, the Lord's going to be your all-sufficiency. And that's what David found out here. And in the first three verses, he said, I will love thee, O Lord, my strength. The Lord is my rock and my fortress and my deliverer, my God, my strength. He just can't say enough. In whom I will trust, my buckler and the horn of my salvation and my high tower. And all these things have significance. He's my high tower. He's that I can get up in there and I'm safe. The righteous run into that tower and they're safe, aren't they? And he said, I will call upon the Lord, who is worthy to be praised. So shall I be saved from my enemies. Oh, folks, I trust the Lord will inspire faith in our hearts today. God can heal you. And I'm not just talking physical by any means. He can heal your broken heart. He can heal your broken dreams. How could I ever go on? I'll tell you how you can go on, because the smell of smoke is not going to be on you. Because you give it to God. And God gives you back a piece of Himself. And those men that were threatened, don't you speak in this name. Don't you even mention it again. And they went right back out and began to preach with power and authority. Don't you know they were kind of, they were men. They were probably a little bit weak when they left there. They were probably a little bit intimidated. And so they went to the Lord, began to cry out to Him, Lord, You're the God of the heavens and the earth. And you see what they're telling us here. And Lord, we need your help. Have you found God to be this in your life?
Yes, Lord.
He will be.
Yes.
I'm persuaded. I can say that with no reservations.
Yes.
God will be the God of your life.
Yes.
If you will be His.
Yes.
He'll be that. Do you remember the story? Of course we all do. Of Caleb and Joshua and the children of Israel. And the Lord had promised them, I'm going to take you into a land that flows with milk and honey. What a promise. And the Israelites get out there for a few days. And they're saying, well, I remember the leeks and the garlics. I'm forgetting that they killed our sons. I'm forgetting that they whipped us all the time. I'm forgetting that we were slaves. I'm forgetting all those things. Folks, I'm talking about perspective this morning. What are we looking at? What kind of perspective do we have? Do we have faith or do we have fear? Do we look at our battles or do we look at God? This is the God we serve, folks. You remember the people, they sent those men in there to search out the land, and they came back and said, yeah, it's a good land. It's flowing. You see these grapes here that we brought back? But there's giants. And so the heart of the people melted. Folks, that's what happens to many people. But we are here because we serve the living God. We're children of the King, folks. There was a couple of guys there that, you know what they said? They're bread for us. Those giants are bread. You know what you do with bread, don't you?
Yes.
Gives you strength.
Yes.
These people are going to be something that's going to bless us.
Right.
This giant is going to bless us because these giants are going to fall before the hand of God.
Yes.
You know what, this morning, the Lord wants to do that in our lives today. And He said, if the Lord, this is what Joshua and Caleb, if the Lord delight in us, this is Numbers 14, starting at 8, if the Lord delight in us, then He will bring us into this land and give it us, a land which floweth with milk and honey. Only rebel not ye against the Lord, neither fear ye the people of the land, for they are bread for us. Their defense is departed from them. And the Lord is with us.
Yes.
That's our job, folks.
Yes.
Let's get the Lord on our side. And we humble ourselves to do that. And He does the rest. But all the congregation, for the Lord is with us, fear them not. But all the congregation bade stone them with stones. And the glory of the Lord appeared in the tabernacle of the congregation before all the children of Israel. And the Lord said unto Moses, how long will this people provoke me? And how long will it be ere they believe me for all the signs which I have showed them? I just want to ask you something. Has the Lord ever showed you any signs?
Yes.
Has He ever done anything for you?
Yes.
Is there anything God has worked that you know He's been at work in my life?
Yes.
That's what Joshua and Caleb were. And they said, fear them not. Fear not them. You know, Job, he was a man that faced things that I'll probably never face on that level. I hope I don't. But you know what he said? Though he slay me.
Yes.
Now this was when his health was gone.
Yes.
His children were gone.
Yes.
His home, his lands were much was destroyed. And he had very little left. And he said, though he slay me, yet will I trust him. Oh, I just want to leave that short little message with you this morning. Job had a proper view of God. Job had a proper concept of God. And the Lord wants us to have a proper concept of Him. He really does. Perspective means a particular attitude toward or way of regarding something. A point of view. True understanding of the relative importance of things. A sense of proportion. I remember a time we lived in town in Guthrie, and one of our sons was very young at the time, And he would climb the stairs coming up to the back porch. But there was a little crack about an inch and a half wide at the top of the stairs that abutted the porch. And he couldn't cross that because he was afraid he would fall in it. That was the point of view he had. He was going to fall in this crack he could not get through. Just his foot could get down in there, or his leg maybe at that time. But you know what? That was his perspective. Mine was, come on, son, this crack is nothing. This crack is nothing. And the same one would get in the tub, and when we wanted to get him out, all we had to do was pop the little stopper. And you know what? He come barreling over the side. Because he saw all that water going down that hole. And he was afraid he was going to go down that hole too. That was his perspective. That's the way he saw it. Now, folks, that's the way the children of Israel saw God. You mean we're going to go in there? Yeah, we want that land. You better believe we want that land. Sure, we do. But there's giants there, and they're going to eat us up. And we're like grasshoppers in their sight. Oh, come on. Grasshoppers in their sight, and he just drowned the whole army of Pharaoh. And let them walk through on dry ground and split the Red Sea wide. Come on. We're people just like they are. I want to encourage us today. Folks, some of us are looking at things we don't understand. It's a little crack at the top of the stair, okay? It's a little hole in the bottom of the tub. The things we don't understand. The confusion we feel, the affliction we have. Oh, yes, but you don't understand. Every day I suffer under this. I do understand. I want to tell you something. Those things are real. And we need God. And God will help us if we don't come barreling out. Folks, we got to realize this is just a little thing of this life that God, that made the heavens and the earth, He will come down and He will heal this thing. He'll make my mind new again. Do we believe God can do that? Yeah. I want to tell you, there's witnesses right here that can tell you He will. Yeah. He can. He does. Right. It might be a fight. There might be some suffering. But I want to tell you, let's don't give up on God. Yes. I know we're going to suffer some, folks. I know some of you have been through things I have never been through. And I've been through my share of things. But I want to tell you this morning, there is a God. And He made all these things that we see. Everything. And He'll get in the furnace with you. And He'll go through the waters with you. And He said they're not going to overflow you. Now, we're going to believe it or not. We don't have to believe it. We can throw in the towel and run for our life. Or we can say, though He slay me, yet will I trust Him. This is my God. This is the one that I've heard about. This is the one I know about. This is the one I've seen. This is the one that lives in my soul. And He's going to take care of me. Oh, the Lord help us today to have the perspective of faith in our life. To not give up, to not give down, to not give back. We have only one word to the Lord, and that's yes. We have only one way, and that's forward. You pray for me. I want to make it too.